if I die before the resurrection? We said that when we take our last breath, we go immediately into the presence of God. We will never see death, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But at the appointed time, Jesus will come back for his church, and those who have died will be raised and transformed. Those who are alive at his return will be changed instantly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And when the trumpet sounds, God is going to call all of us home. Now remember what we said about that last trump. That last trump is the last sound of God that believers will hear on the earth. Now, we're going to come back to that tonight. The last trump is a figure of speech used by the Roman military when they broke camp. The last trump is the final trump of three trumps. The first trump, we said, meant to strike the tents and prepare to leave. The second trump meant to fall into line and get ready to go. The last trump means march away. Now, we're going to come back to that as we look at 1 Thessalonians. That is what we have learned so far about the resurrection. So then the next question is, when is all of this going to happen? It's going to happen at the rapture of the church. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to start looking at verse 13. All of this is going to happen at the rapture of the church. Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, is addressing young Christians. They're baby Christians. They're new in their faith. Now, these Christians, they knew that Jesus was coming back. And many of them, and most of them, believed that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime. In fact, in the early church, most Christians thought that Jesus would come back very soon. So they thought that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime, but they were worried. They were worried about what's going to happen to those who have died. If there are those who have died and they're not here when Jesus comes back, what's going to happen to them? And because there was all of this worry, of course, you know, that opened them up for false teaching and false doctrine. So Paul addresses their worry and their concern by teaching them the doctrine of the rapture. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians. Let's start and read verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." So Paul starts off by saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of what's going to happen to your loved ones, your brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen asleep. And it's interesting that Paul uses that term asleep, because he's trying to convey to them a sense of temporariness. So yes, they have gone on, they have died, but they are simply asleep. And I want you to understand what's going to happen for them and for you. I don't want you to sorrow over them as those who have no hope. And the only way you can have hope is you have to know what it is your faith teaches you. That's what Paul is trying to get them to see. Let's read verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I love that verse of scripture. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose. That takes us all the way back to when we first start talking about the resurrection. Because we know Jesus got up, we know we will get up. And so he's saying, because we believe that Jesus died and rose, we know that at the appointed time, when the resurrection is about to take place, Jesus will bring those who are sleeping with him. That word bring means to lead with oneself. So our loved ones, those who are absent from the body, present with the Lord, if Jesus came back today, he would be coming back with them. He would be coming back leading them. They would be with him. So he says, we believe Jesus died and rose, and so we know that he's going to come back. And when he comes back, those who are asleep in him are coming with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That word prevent means to come before or proceed. It means to come before or proceed. So Paul is saying, I want you to understand, if Jesus came back today, we're not going to meet up with him ahead of the saints who have died. We're not going to come before them. Why? Because remember what verse 14 says. He's going to come with them. Bring them with him. And we're not going to come before them. So then what exactly will happen? Verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Church, that's good news. That's wonderful news. Paul is saying that the Lord himself, he's not going to send an angel to come get us. But the Lord himself shall descend from the highest heavens. And he shall come down from the place that he is. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. And he's going to leave the place that he is. And there's going to be three consecutive sounds. Now, remember in 1 Corinthians, we talked about three trumps. Well, those three trumps are the three sounds in 1 Thessalonians. He says, first, there's going to be a shout. That word shout means a command, an order, or a war cry. It is the war cry of God. First, there is a shout. That shout is the sound of the first trump. Remember, we said that the first trump means strike the tents and be prepared to leave. That's the first shout. Then comes the voice of an archangel. That's the second trump. That second sound tells us, fall in line and get ready. Then comes the last trump, that third sound, the trump of God. For the trumpet shall sound. And we said that that last trump means it's time to march away. Three consecutive sounds. Jesus will descend from the highest heavens. And with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, he shall come to receive his own. The dead in Christ shall raise first. Raised incorruptible, made new. And after they are raised incorruptible and made new, then those who are alive at his return shall be changed instantly, caught up. So those of us who are dead in Christ, those of us who are alive in Christ at his return, all of us caught up where? Together. Together to meet him in the air. Caught up in the clouds. Caught up together to meet Jesus Christ. What a reunion that will be. Amen. The dead in Christ, the living in Christ, caught up together, being led home to glory. Caught up together, ascending into heaven. The same way Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection. That's how we're going to ascend into heaven. The dead in Christ, those who are alive, all of us change together going into heaven. And the Bible says, and there we shall be with Jesus evermore. Resurrected, glorified, never to be separated from him again. That is what happens at the rapture. Well, you might ask, well, when is the rapture? When is that going to take place? No man knows. And so it is important to avoid speculation. There are always people who try to tell you they can predict when Jesus is coming back. And everyone who says they can predict when Jesus comes back, that is a false prophet. Because Jesus has assured us that no man knows. No man knows when I will return. That's why we are to remain always in a state of readiness. To be in a state where we say he could come back anytime. That means that I have to be diligent and urgent about the work that God has given me to do, because I don't want him to come back catching me doing something I don't need to be doing. I don't want him to come back catching me being slowful and unconcerned. I want when he comes back, he will see that I was working for him, doing all that he has called me to do and everything that he required. So no man knows when the rapture shall happen. So then the next question is the rapture the end? Is that the end of everything? Is that when God restores all things? Well, the answer is no. But we're not going to expound upon that tonight, because it would be too much to wrap our mind around. Next week, we will talk about what happens after the rapture. What happens in the world after the rapture? And how we ultimately get to the very end where Jesus restores all things. But tonight, I just want us to see and understand what I have been saying about the resurrection, that the resurrection is the pinnacle of our faith. It is the promise of eternal, perfect, unending life with Jesus. It is the way in which we will have life as God intended. And it is a life that was purchased for us with the blood of Jesus. We are saved from our sins, and we thank God for that. But we are saved from death itself. Jesus is our Savior. And the wonderful thing about this scripture and all the scripture that we have learned and studied on the resurrection is we don't have to guess or imagine. You know, a lot of Christians just sort of guess and imagine, wonder what's going to happen when we die. I wonder what happened to my loved one. We don't have to guess or imagine. It's all in the book. Amen. The Bible tells us clearly what's going to happen and gives us the confidence that you can believe it. You can count on it, because Jesus has never failed on anything that he said. After saying all of that, Paul gives the church at Thessalonica a very simple instruction. Let's read verse 18. He says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That's powerful. Comfort one another with these words. In other words, I want you to mutually and reciprocally give each other comfort. That is, console each other, encourage each other, comfort each other with what you know. Comfort each other not with your imagination, not with your opinion. Comfort each other with these words, with what you have been taught. See, the church at Thessalonica was a young church, and they were going through great difficulty. They had experienced great disappointment. Life was not easy for them, and they had many loved ones who had died. They were mistreated, and their future seemed uncertain. Paul is letting them know there is comfort in the knowledge of the resurrection. In other words, there's comfort in your faith. There's comfort in what you believe. Church, I'm not teaching us on the resurrection because it's interesting. I'm teaching us on the resurrection because it is the heart of our faith. And at the heart of our faith, it can bring us comfort. See, my heart is heavy when I look at so many Christians who are unable to cope with life. All around us are Christians that just cannot cope. And the reason that many Christians are unable to cope with life, it's not because our faith is not real. It's not because there's something missing in our faith. And yet, what the adversary is doing in the church is causing Christians to look for, seek